Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, I'm back in the morning, girl! What a difference when there's no smell of shite about it.
Smell of shite, I smell ass. But is the big one still there?
Sunar. Fake taxi.
Fake taxi. My boobs here. I'm my boobs in the back. No, as a, you're not getting that whiff of smell today, you know?
You missing the big man?
No. Not at all.
I don't used to go, genuinely we've said that, I don't used to go on, do you?
You mean Big Kyle?
No, we do. Big man, we talked about you two for ages the other time. You say you're miles off it.
What's with the cat? What's with the cat today?
Bumblebee.
No, no, just done.
No, I'm saying you've been stung by a bumblebee.
That is superb. Oh, yeah, I'm so fragile today. So fragile.
How come?
Night out. I mean, night out, yeah, I just had a few, didn't we? But
you need to enjoy yourself, didn't you?
Oof, aye. I'm struggling a wee bit at the moment. That's for sure. No, I don't like it all.
You're looking well, but...
Did you like the attention you got when you were...
Hate it. I really hate it.
It was all over you, son.
Aye, it's just, you just want to enjoy yourself, don't you? Don't make him up, have we chatting up, but don't be coming up and overdoing it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I need to apologise to the Los Angeles falling asleep in Kong and then I started a fucking run. Apologies, I'm very sorry. I'll know how I'm
not. You embarrassed yourself, didn't you?
I did embarrass myself.
Yeah. You
so the Hearts boys, right? The Hearts boys were at the Broomhill Hearts game on Friday night. Phoned me after and give me the download about how the game went. And I said, mate, Si, I swear to God, every time a Broomhill player lost the ball, Si took a jacket off, right? Raging. He's like, he must have about 8 jackets on the face. And he keeps up the game.
With a layer off.
Jacket was off.
Just standing
like half time, all them back on, save again, second half. I'll make it down.
Love to see him going all the way.
Just imagine I was just standing there topless at the end.
That'll be in your head now as well, because you do that. If a mistake happens, a jacket comes off straight away.
What is, why is the jacket come off? Do you even realise you're doing it?
I don't know, mate.
Why
have
you
been sitting in the jacket? See, after about 5 minutes on the side, you're sweating. You the same? Sweating.
Oh, I get cold. I like being, like feeling the heat. To be
fair, were you like at the side of the pitch when you done the coaching? Were you quite lively?
I kick every ball, but no, absolutely mental. If things are going wrong, I like it's no, but I can lose. I've punched the dugout a few times.
Yeah.
Kicked a few things.
You got sent off at Falkirk, didn't you? Because you were suspended for the game we played as you were up the stand.
Right, that's right.
What was that for?
That was, who did we play? Montrose. And I went to the ref after. Cam, as you like, by the way. What's, why was that a red card? So he told me, all right, no bother, we'll have a look at it. Why was there no penalty for this? Blah, our player's got a 6-inch long gash on his shin. It's a stonewall penalty. And he just gives me the point, points me in, doesn't say a word. And by the way, he looked about 12, the ref.
Right.
I went, don't do that, I'm talking to you, Cam. He went, so you can't do it with the red mist flowing over me. I went, mate, don't do that, I'm talking to you here. And he done it again. So I've said something and I've walked off. But I never seen it. He's actually gave me a red card behind my back. So the gaffer gaffer says to me after he'd done his press, did you get a red card? I went, no. He went, I've said you've gave you a red card. The guys gave me a red card behind my back. Oh, honestly, it was sorry, so I got sent off.
You got his first red card last week.
Mr. Peter,
I got booked again this week.
Did you?
I got booked again this week.
What for? Taking a jacket off?
Blur, mate. It's a blur. Talking managers.
Topless. He was topless for the injury. He got booked.
Booked for being topless. Andy Halliday, new manager.
Brilliant.
Aye, first game as a manager. How'd you find him, mate?
No joke. Actually nervous, sir.
Were you?
Do you know why? No, in the game, within the game, and that felt quite good. We went 2-0 inside 5 minutes. Absolutely unbelievable. See, for the first sort of 30 minutes of the game, we were so good. Then we just had a crazy last 15 minutes, the first half, conceded 3 goals. And see, the full second half, I'm like that. Because you've been to a couple of our games. Some of the points we've dropped have been for games.
Who's we? Because I don't even know.
20s. So the Broomhill 20s. All right. Robbie, I think the 20s, but Robbie's on holiday now, so it was just me on Friday.
We're just going to break it to Robbie. I'm now the assistant manager.
The boys generally don't want him back. Well, that good on Friday. But we've dropped a couple of points for crazy positions for how well we've played. You were at East Kilbride game. It was against him again. I'm like, how are we 3-each at half time for how well we've played?
So what happened? How did they end up?
So we changed the shape, didn't we?
Yeah.
4-2-3-1.
Right.
Which is probably maybe on me and Robbie because we never worked on out of possession too much in training. But see, any time you put a straight ball into the 10, see once it broke down, they just ran straight out back to it. Right. So they scored 3 goals in the space of 15 minutes, got it to 3-each at half time. But we're still pretty positive for the boys at half time. Changed back to our original 4-3-3. Second half was a joy to watch. Very, very good.
Brilliant. It's brilliant for Robbie Neilson, but isn't it? Look. Support
that when you do
that, huh? A lot of people when you want that, mate, it's amazing.
I think he obviously understands the fact I'm doing my badges now as well. And all he's just said to me is similar to stuff like this is don't date the day before a game. Obviously, make sure you're resting, you've got your feet up or whatnot. So the fact that our games are on a Sunday with Hearts now, and obviously the 20s games are a Friday, is perfect. But this, I'll
but he's even gave you cones in that as well.
Aye, so I was telling him, Robbie gave me all the balls, the kit for the game, bibs, but he never had cones. So we had the warm up on Friday with Nae cones. I was telling him that today, and he was like, him and Jig came up there after taking the session. There's 20 cones for your training.
What was it you had to do to them?
A
yo-yo
test.
Aye. Yo-yo
test.
And you said about a year that you weren't into coaching or you didn't want to go into it. Is that kind of changed now, mate?
A wee bit. My reasons are still the same. I think it's something I've spoke to Kenny about in the past as well. It's like, I've always said that I want to start a family when I finish football and I'm a bit more settled. So then coaching, there is that still the life of the unknown in it. Yeah. You could be here, there, everywhere. But day in the 20s, I honestly love it. Boys are brilliant. You do get a pure buzz for it as well. So even play for 3 points, whether you're a player, a fan, a manager, whatever, that's what you dream of, isn't it? That's what you look forward to. And even the fact on Friday there, still get the same buzz with them going and winning a game, seeing their reaction after. So
I'm surprised you're saying you wouldn't have gone to coach and I would have had you nailed for it.
Yeah. So did I.
Because we got hammered, me and Big Waldo, for the brown sauces and the ketchup, but he was heavily involved.
I was a salt and pepper, that was the green sauces.
We went in for a coffee with Faddy and Charlie, it was the same, wasn't it? Forks and knives. What would you do if this happened? It was good to wasn't it?
Faddy was challenging Charlie, wasn't he?
They had a bit of...
See, when you're younger, I always think, see, when you're away from football, you don't want to talk about the football after. See, as the older you get, it's the best chat in the world. Yeah. See, with boys that know what they're talking about, I could talk football all day now.
Mm-hmm. That's what I could speak. I can't speak about anything else other than football. See, if I meet somebody that doesn't know about football, I'm fucked. He's not the same.
I've said that team with players, mate. Like, you have players where they're talking about football and you're like, what the f-?
Josh Windass.
He's phoning me just as I'm walking in the door there.
I
went, I'll phone you after. I'll tell you how bad they are afterwards.
But we need to say Hugh Keevans was your assistant manager.
He
brought the oranges, but they're all half suit. The banana is a big
marks.
Loved it. What's his philosophy?
I'll just share it. He was Alexander Diamond on the B license. Fucking idiot. Just get in
here. Was that time?
Defending the final third, mate. And his team conceded a goal. Just get fucking ready.
By the way, round of pause. Kenny Moore's got his pro license.
It's a process. A 2 year. We were just over 2 year, but we had some brilliant speakers on. Mourinho with a question and answer with top level. Viers Bosch was good. Jesse Marsh. We had Mick Beale was on as well. Some really, really good guys on it. Roberto Martinez was on at towards the end as well. So good guys on it. Good listen, hearing their journeys, how they go about their business. But glad.
What's your pro license cost?
Too much, man. It's too much.
I don't get that.
Too much.
I don't get, you shouldn't be paying that amount of money.
But no way. See if it, see I think if there is ways you can reclaim, or if you're in a club, they would maybe help out and put you through it a bit. If you're not, you're on it, you need to just shell out.
See if any of the chats or the seminars, QAs that you've had on the pro, have you found yourself taking wee bits?
A wee bit. I'll tell you, one of the first things I done, so after listening to Mick Beale, Mick talked, and you've worked with him for a number of years, so you know what he's like and how he works. He talks a little bit outplaying
opponents.
Correct. So for me, I went away and he was showing us some of the drills and things that he'd done. I pirated them straight away. They were parachuted into my next day session. So they were. But what I took from him was, like, I always, as you know, I want to pass and move. So I every time I would do a session, I would normally put limited touches on the session. And then when Mick started to talk about this, that made me think, like, how am I training the guys that I want to be direct and dribbling and getting at opponents? Yeah. So I'm maybe not giving them that opportunity to do it. So next day it was,
I would never do that.
Change it. Maybe limited touches in certain areas to get defenders moving it. But attacking areas, if you've got, again, he talked about Ryan Kent. If you're getting Ryan Kent on the ball, you need him to be training his biggest strength, which is his dribbling ability. So it made me think. So the next day, I kind of changed a few things, used a few of his drills in my sessions. But it was, there's loads of wee nuggets I think you'll take through the course. A lot of it does reinforce some of your beliefs, if you've got that type of.
You should be loads of, like, 2v2s, 3v3s, but then see when you should do the actual 1v1s. See, like, obviously, I was playing left back at the time. See when you should do the 1v1s, you used to honestly think, don't put me against Kenny. Honestly.
Was he that good at that?
Seeing 1v1 drills is unbelievable because you're just so sharp both ways. It's like, I'm not going to name names, right? But say you go to an ex player, he's right footed, show him down the line. I'm actually quite quick off the mark, which will surprise you as well. I'm showing them under their weaker foot and I want to drag it there. 90 out of 10, I feel as if I could get there. We can't step over that way, step over that way.
He's gone, and he's gone.
You just can't. Even by the time you get tight to it, he's got the ones where he'll just flick it round you and go. You try to use your body, he's away. He's unbelievable in these sessions.
What's the reason for Bill Dane 2v2s and 3v3s? Is it because in that is everything in the game?
He does a lot as well that he talks about, where he purposely makes a lot of training drills really tight. Because he basically says, if you can date here on a Monday to Friday with a tight space, just think you're an Olympia 11 when you go on a Friday, how much easier it is when he talks about the 1v1s, the 2v2s. So that's just mainly his. Everything they do, which is probably similar to most coaches, is drilled towards what you're doing on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. You think Bill will be a top manager?
I think it'll be good. For me, seeing him from afar, listening to him speak, I was on a podcast with him about a month back. We're on another one of his way. He talks great. You know, I think he's a really, really good coach. Knows what he's doing. He's pretty clear about it. And he started great QPR as well. So I think he could be. I think he'll be a Mountain Man Rangers one.
I think it's
a would that be the one that they would go for if Van Bronckhorst went?
I don't think it depends. So. I think the timing, I mean, if it happened soon, it might be too soon for him. But
I think down the line.
Somebody says he goes about like that with the Queen's Park bit on down south and just shows the Rangers. That's what I can believe about those Rangers.
100%. Because who else would you get? But no, he'd definitely be one. Can I just ask you one quickly? Do you feel more pressure being a coach or a player when you played?
Coach.
Who's you're responsible for everything?
That's me for that too. I couldn't really answer that, to be fair.
He must have felt. Did you feel Friday the pressure?
Just because I kept thinking to myself, I'm not going back to Robbie saying we've drew. I swear to God, we need to win this game. So just buzzing that we did.
Pressure back on Robbie.
I would say coach all day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like, everyone's on you. You can affect it Monday to Friday. You're hoping that the work you've done happens and comes to fruition on the Saturday, but you've very little control over it. Mm-hmm. So the player's going out and delivering it, and as a player, at least you can affect it. You know, you can affect on that field of play. You can affect the game by playing well. You can affect your teammates by, like, getting right in amongst them as well. So, nah, therefore,
do you know what I would say for, like, very limited experience compared to Officer Eusty? It's crazy how much it will try and challenge you to change your beliefs.
100%.
Because see that Cumberland Colts game, for example, when they just pressed us man for man out for goal kicks, we're asking the boys to play and rotate and do the rotation. See, when it doesn't work there two times, you find yourself on your head, I just tell them, just kick it along here. Uh-huh. But it's like, 17-year-old boys, you want to develop and have that challenge, to be honest, because sometimes maybe games can be too easy for these younger boys. So you do, you question yourself a lot more, but you just got to stick to what you believe in.
Do you know whose message is always clear? Grosvenor Sport.
Oh,
magic, isn't they?
They're the real pioneers of that, innit? That's where Ange got it from, innit?
Double the odds, just sport, doesn't matter where it is.
You've done the pro licence, innit?
Aye.
They've done the pro licence, completed the pro licence. New offer this weekend, double the odds for new sign-ups. Sign up at gsport.com forward slash
home goals. Incredible.
They continue to amaze us, didn't they?
It's unbelievable.
Outstanding, really.
I wanted to ask, it's good we've got both of these on as well. Lee Wallace has retired yesterday, he announced it. Sad day for him.
Yeah. You know, I'm disappointed for him. I mean, I've been close with the big man for a number of years now, and I still think he had so much to offer, but I felt he was, I think he maybe had lost a wee bit of love for playing, to be
which
honest.
Is crazy, mate, because such a good player.
Listen, an underrated player.
Mm.
Listen, unless you've actually played alongside him and trained with him on a day-to-day basis, he's just a top-level player. I mean, international footballer as well, like, brilliant, brilliant player. Another one of these left-backs you could add to the list. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, he's just at the other end of his career.
Mm.
But, no, top lad, top player. I'm sad he's no playing, to be honest, because he's, what, 35, and you're just turning 35 in August. He's a brilliant career. But he's always had a love for coaching. He's been doing it for, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah,
10 years, 12 years. But he was doing it, I think he had three teams before he was at Celtic. It was before Tiny had his wee local team.
Mm.
Then he went somewhere else. Then I think it was Tiny. Then I think it was Tynecastle. So he's been doing it for years. Right? He loves it. He's mad for it.
Mm.
I mean, when he was doing it at QPR, I think the family stayed up in Edinburgh and he was down there and they would kind of travel, but every afternoon I'd phone him, he'd be sitting in the same corner in the same coffee shop with a laptop out watching video after video or looking at different things. He loves it, so he'll go into it. I think he'll take a wee bit of time and decide who he wants to go and see, when he wants to go, because there'll always be a benefit. He's not just going to jump in and come see Sy Ferry at Broomhall just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
He's going to, if he feels you're on the list that he can learn for, he'll come and see you, but he'll go and see clubs and that, and then he'll get back into coaching. It's when he feels right, because again, he's no somebody for just jumping straight in.
Yeah. I met him in Costa William Kelly about 2 months ago, and I couldn't believe he's, because I knew Lee when we were 16, we came through to Scotland together, and if you told me that Lee Wallace was going to be that enthusiastic about football, mate, I would never have believed it.
No.
He's always last to meetings, quite laid back. So I messaged him saying, will you come on the podcast now that you're not playing anymore? He went, no, I'm going to watch you from afar and go back to shooting people. Remember he got done with shooting people in Edinburgh?
I think he'd probably tell you that. He'd probably tell you that he's maybe changed for the better throughout his career, but just to echo what Kenny says, just so underrated, mate. See, take away sort of being aerially dominant, I'd say he has everything else, everything.
Mm.
6'3", strong, mm-hmm. athletic, very good on the ball, positionally unbelievable. And do you know what? A brilliant captain. Very, very good captain.
Was he?
A great mix between staff and player. So reinforces a staff's message, but demands off the players as well. And if something has to be looked after, I said it before, him and Kenny were the two sort of leadership group, as you call it, at Rangers, would still try and go to the arse end for the players as well. And I'm actually, to be honest, Kenny will probably know a bit more than me, but I was really surprised when I see him retire, because he actually played a lot of games at QPR over the last couple of years. No, he had the sort of niggly injuries, but when he was fit, he played.
And you tried to get
QPR
my heart,
Championship. I was trying to get him at Hearts, as obviously I'm not the director of football, but I did say he was available. And I don't know obviously what came out of what, but for me he's still got a lot to offer for any club. But if he's saying that he's maybe not fit, like fell out of love with it, or want to go into the next step, then that's fair enough, isn't it?
I don't know how that you can change so much like that. You know what I mean?
Was he away for the family when he was down there? So maybe that's probably a big reason.
I think that'll play a part in it, but I do forgetting speak that he's not. He's actually in the stage where I've said, like, well, you know, miss the day. I don't think at the moment he's felt he needed to. As much as he announced it yesterday or the day, whenever it's been, it's been since June.
Since
May, actually. So it's been a 3-4 months where he kind of knew what he was doing. It's just obviously been official now, but if anything had popped up, he might have looked at it, but it wouldn't have guaranteed that he would have kept playing. If it had been something that really excited him, I think he would have done it. But there maybe would have needed to and have that maybe coaching pathway, or at least maybe an element of coaching in the role straight away, because I think he's pretty focused on what he wants to do next. He's good mates, when I think.
Good mates, haven't
they?
They worked together
20s ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was actually the one that probably about 2-3 years before Tam got the Dundee United job, had actually said, the first time I heard his name was through Big Waldo. So he's always well worth a guy to have a wee chat with, because he's Waldo rated him pretty highly.
Hmm.
See, Rangers would use, no question, the manager, but would you bring Hinge up to the manager meetings? I think I've asked that before.
It was very player policed though, wasn't it? So you just couldn't send your piece.
No, but because Mark Warburton really
wanted
that. He encouraged that type of feedback. I mean, and it wasn't just he actually was big on the younger players as well, having a voice, and not just like the same voice in the meetings,
except
kind of stepping up.
Oh, you had a couple of shockers. I can always remember this. We were playing a game against somebody. Do you remember Nathan O'Doer?
He
was only maybe 19 or something. We'd done this analysis on this team and whatnot, big game. And Mark Warburton says, boys, you end saying Nathan O'Doer says, let's just crush their dreams, didn't he? Do you remember that? Let's go crush their dreams, he said.
What did Warburton say? Yes.
That's
a boy.
What the fuck? Just move on from that.
Well, you always say let's go and crush their dreams. Go and use arse.
Okay.
Oh, amazing. Right, we're going to go to Scotland. How impressive have you been in the last two games?
Unbelievable. Side, there's one word that sticks out, character. Wasn't it?
Right.
I said a word on Friday night and I fucking came back.
What was it? What was your word? Demoralisation?
I had to demoralise the boys, didn't I? Before they fucking went out. Rainbows, that is. Fuck me. And I think that's the last name. I'll be keen to be chance to speak. But no, but listen, it's all about character.
I hope that's in it. I'll be in a documentary, I think it will.
No.
That'll be filmed. What
you said that in the changing room.
I'm speaking.
So we were in the
never again.
We were in his office before it, and I was like,
"You were quite because you were so passionate about what you were saying."
So passionate in the office, and then turned into a fucking mouse in the changing room for the boys. But I said to the word was demoralisation. I had a bite of this. I'm shaking. So I say demoralisation because it's a sense that I feel when I watch them playing. I watch teams playing when I train.
When you join in with them.
When I join in, sometimes I'm always looking at my watch. Like, when's this finishing? Because the intensity, and that's not just a fitness thing, by the way. That's a mentality thing to keep going. So that's what I said. But I think in the manner that I delivered it, it fucking sucked all the life out of the boys before they went out. So
demoralisation, them.
They're absolutely fucked.
So Scotland, are they
character side, that was exactly what it was, because the second half in both games v Ukraine, first half wasn't great, but the second half they showed great character. They came out and played the way they did. Again, 1-0 down against Ireland at halftime, came out again. That's no easy today. And came back 1-2-1. I mean, it's, and they were under a bit of pressure, obviously, with Clark as well, when they get beat with Ukraine and Ireland the last group of games he played, so to come back this time and do what they'd done was character building, man. It was amazing.
Am I right in saying they're playing a lot higher up the pitch?
Yes,
I think that was a big thing, particularly Ukraine. See, the thing about going to the back four, it would be interesting had Andy Robertson been fit, if that still would have happened. You could have played Tierney inside.
Where do you stand in this? Because I'm interested in this one with Robertson and Tierney.
I think he still would have played a four. I think he probably would have just shifted Tierney inside. I think he would have needed to. But I think that was behind the change for me against Ukraine. Never got any pressure on the ball in the first game. Had too much control through the midfield in the first game. So needed bodies in there. And the way he played, as much as a 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, you've got Christie and you've got Armstrong, who are inside players. So you're effectively going to have five decent footballers in there who can all handle the ball. I mean, you think of the chance that got created for Patterson. It was the three players behind the striker that all combined one touch play to absolutely carve through them. That's maybe one of the best moves I've seen kind of Scotland kind of create for a long, long time in terms of how quick and how incisive it was. So good players. So that on the ball, off the ball, absolutely. Every one of them, unbelievable legs. For the midfield forward, your fullbacks, super quick, good energy, can work hard as well. Everything was there in that performance. I didn't think we were as good against Ireland again, but again, it's a different game, completely different game. But we got the job done. But the one thing about both games, I felt were in complete control.
Craig,
I couldn't believe.
Yeah? Craig Halkett.
He's massive. You see the saving, it was one each day go through. So important.
It's a bad miss. I'll be honest, the striker's got to score. It was a tame effort, but it was he's had to stand up and make the save. Mm-hmm.
Steve Staunton, wasn't it? He's got to score, isn't
he? I think the Ukraine game, to be honest, is one of the best Scotland performances I've seen for a
while. I think they were good in the first half.
So
did I. For 10 minutes, like, what the weather, a wee bit of a storm and a lot of balls over the top and down the side just because, by the way, you're going for two because McKenna and Hendry are rapid.
And by the way, when was the last time? I'd love to know the last time Scotland had 20 plus shots in a game. Genuinely, against anyone.
Shots, the chances were unbelievable.
Adams had a few.
You talk about football evolving, right? See these set piece coaches, they're everywhere now. And Austin McPhee, to be fair to him.
See the set player. It's a ball in the mix and big dice going on.
That's it. That's the best
job. That is the best job. Put it in there and go and attack it.
But see, what I would say is for the wee sort of scissor movement.
A wee bit of blocking or a wee bit of...
See if Dykes doesn't connect with his header cleanly and it falls to that back post. Who was it at the back post? Was it McKenna? He's got, he had two tap-ins
at her.
Two tap-ins for like the sort of back post movement, but the set piece coach, you know, Liverpool.
But what, so what's your assistant manager? What's your assistant manager and your first team coach then?
Why can't they do the set play coach?
He's just told me at the start that he's got brothers on the set pieces. He's got his players as a coach at Brimhill.
But that's because the assistant and coach and all like that.
Do you know Liverpool get a throwing coach?
Goal kick coach as well.
I don't know, but they have got a throwing coach.
A throwing coach, that's right.
Somebody
Chelsea, Anthony Barry does it. Anthony Barry, Windass, buzzes off him.
What about Scotland trying to do the PSG's kickoff?
I know. I have seen that everywhere this season.
That's cringe, people trying that.
Come up with something yourself.
I don't know. I'm not sure I've got Super John McGinn. He's no Messi to play that.
That's nice. Somebody tried it against us. Who was Brona?
Brona,
he tried it against us.
That's right, aye. He's still bright 20s done it against us. By the way, I've seen it beforehand and I shouted out the back foot to drop because I could see the
yep.
Striker movement at the time. So that's
everywhere
like
I
know
that.
I like
it's
it.
Rife. That
is sensational.
I loved it.
See, to be fair though, I'm no mad on routines. See, for like corners and free kicks and that, I'm not. I'm actually not. And I've been a lot. I've been a part of a lot of teams that day, but short corners. I've never been a big fan of short corners.
I'm always get if it's on, get the ball down and play quite.
Hate them. I've been a big fan of them. What, see, when you actually see like stats that sort of back it up, they're not great, are they?
I don't know. No,
because what they'll do is they'll manipulate the stat to make it look. I mean, there's a lot to be said for putting it in the mixer and letting big dykes go and head it in. But I think there's ways that you can manoeuvre a team about to highlight to target an area.
Yeah.
Like if there's an area, like a lot of teams now are pretty bare on the edge of the box, so you can work these wee bang bang into the. You've seen so many teams day that like do the similar ones. But if there's a space, it can be.
Well, that's it.
Exploited. I think there's
that's
something.
That's Man City with the half space cross, isn't it? Yeah. If they're playing against a low block, it's shifted back to De Bruyne. Get the back foot to squeeze up, whip it in behind, tap in back post.
Yeah. That's what you need to start then. Mm-hmm. Right, we're going to put it on camera now. Do you want to do set pieces for them?
Do you know what? I would have no problem, no niche to do it, but.
No, what?
No niche.
I'd have no niche.
That is a niche.
I'd have no niche to do it, but the reason why I don't is because, and because Brodders. Is defending his box for the last fucking 40 years. Do you know what I mean? 20 years. Attacking and defensively side. So he knows more what he would want because he's been in that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than me, he's been out of the game 10 years, not fucking seen much yet. So I'm still in that learning process.
His brother's got all the attacking set pieces, Jim Ward does the attacking, brother's defending.
Barry McKay, Stephen Kingsley called up. Well, what are they?
100%.
They're players.
I'm no BD.
To be fair, mate, they were the 50th and 51st picks. So well done,
mate. Eight callers. I'm not being biased here. I think they both should have been in the original one. Definitely Barry McKay, because I think that's been 12 months, if not more, of just consistency.
Yeah.
And I do think that type of player is probably the one thing that Scotland do lack. I think Ryan Fraser, when he plays, has done really well. Been sort of in the Newcastle team. And Christie and Armstrong are different players, aren't they? Really good players, don't get me wrong, especially when the system they play for coming inside, they're great at that. But I do think that one thing I'll say about Barry McKay could be a match winner. Whereas Kingsley, for me, he's probably competing for the hardest position in the Scotland squad, so it's always going to be difficult for him. But when I've seen a couple of pull-outs and call-offs, I thought, for me, Kingsley's got to go up, and thankfully he has.
Seen Ryan Stevens said that Kingsley's a better player than Greg Taylor. What do you think of that?
I can't say, you're talking about my team, but I'm not asking you that, but I don't think so.
Well, I think you've got to, with the greatest of respect, good if players, you're playing for Celtic, the suggestion is you're a better, at the moment, you're a better player, you know, and Greg's had a brilliant, 14 months, but 15 months
to be
now.
Fair, he has been brilliant the last year or so, Greg Taylor,
I wouldn't say he's going to come in and not be able to do the job, but I just think for wee Barry, it was always going to be hard to get into that squad, because again, when you've got guys at your computer playing at Premiership most weeks, then it's about levels, isn't it? I mean, you look at that team it played against UK, I think it was 8 players were playing in the Premier League. The other 3 were Big Gordy, who's been there and done it, Cal McGregor, who's captain of Celtic, playing Champs League, and the other one was Jack Henry, who's playing in Serie A. So it's a strong squad, really strong squad to try and break into, particularly in the kind of forward areas. There's a lot of players, midfield, forward areas now, or the inside wingers, 2-10, whatever you want to call it, there's a lot of players in there.
Do you feel as if either of them have got a good chance of playing?
Oh, that's shocking.
Do you feel as if either of them have got a good chance of playing?
I don't think so, no. I would say, nah, to come in, like say for instance, Kingsley was he's going to be taking Greg Taylor's place. He's been in the squad forever.
Yeah. Right?
For the last year, 2 years,
I was thinking maybe left centre half.
But I was going to say he's in a back four. What would Kingsley's preferred position be? Left back or left?
In a back four, probably left back. But he's been playing left centre half for us. Yeah. In a back four.
And done well.
It very well, to be fair.
Yeah.
Again, another one that's just been
his left foot is a joke, isn't it?
Aye, and just very, very consistent, mate. Very consistent. Even as a fullback, I wouldn't say an old school fullback because he is good at going forward, but a very good defender. Very good defender. So I think if either of them were called upon, I think they would do well. Probably similar to what you were saying. If I was predicting a team, I don't think they would play. But I think if they do, I don't think they'll let anyone down.
Here's a question, Vase. 4-3-3 that they're playing just now, what's Scotland's best team?
With everybody fit?
Yeah.
Good question. I think back four.
Patterson.
Robertson. Tierney.
Henry.
I'll go Patterson right back, aye, and then right centre half's probably the harder one, but I really like Grant Hanley for Scotland.
Do you?
I really do, aye. But Jack Henry's done really well as well, so it's probably the hard one. McTominay's shit, yeah.
Unbelievable,
he's been the holding midfield by it. That's been an ongoing debate with me and him for about two
not
years.
For me, McTominay.
No, I'm starting to gaff him, I know. He didn't want to come on your podcast, I know.
Do you know?
No, he never wanted to come on there because
he said he doesn't understand your
he's been great. You can't question him in the team at the moment. He's going to be a miss by
mate. He's been brilliant for Man U the last few games, to be fair.
Be great news. Tomorrow.
Shea Adams and Dykes are out.
I've got a chance.
I don't
know. Who's striker?
So, but they can't be out now if that's what's wrong.
Yeah, especially
John Carver's asked for both of them to be moved into his room so he can get a proper waff it.
I tell you what, it'll be a massive if they're missing.
One's in the bath, one's on the toilet.
Well, who's playing? Who's playing up front if they're not playing?
Declan Gallagher, isn't it?
Aye, striker. It's got to be in it.
Adams is a cut above Dykes, though, isn't it, for me? Level above Dykes, nah.
I think so, aye.
I think he brings a wee bit more. But Dykes comes and scores these two. He gives something that maybe Shea can't. I know they're bringing different things and both of them, I think, have done great over the last 18 months or so. They've got a decent level of goal, whether they're playing up the front together or whether they're leading the line on their own. They've been pretty good at.
See, when you talk about the best team, though, see one player that's sought in and out that has to play for me is Ryan Christie. I think Ryan Christie's got to play.
Off a side?
Aye.
I watched him Bournemouth v Newcastle. I thought he was one of the best players on the pitch. Was it again? He was excellent.
I think, again, it's just it's something different to what Scotland have got. Can unlock doors. I think any time he's played, he's been really good. And for me, if I'm picking best 11, Ryan Christie's in it.
Kev's wanting Dykes and
I think midfield three
Shea Adams up
midfield three as it stands picks itself. I think Billy Gilmore's one that for me when he's playing, when he's at his best, is in there. But as it stands now, that McTominay, McGinn, McGregor's the three in it.
Uh-huh. Same with you, Kenny.
At the moment, aye.
Armstrong, Christie are two side ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think there is a case for Fraser because he's a different player. Mm-hmm. He has got that.
No,
he's
really
rapid,
like
he's sharp again. It's similar to what you're saying with Wee Baz could be out there and he's so quick over that first 10 yards.
That would
suit
Barry coming off the side. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's similar to they're always playing at Hearts.
That's it. Right. But Fraser's, is he not more a high and wide sort of type, wide player?
Aye. That's why there is a case for him because he gives you that different threat.
Changed, yeah.
He gives you a different threat. That's why when he comes on, I think they'll have a part to play. I mean, it'll be a tight game. I can't see it being another convincing 3-0 win, as much as I hope it is. It'll be a tight game. You could find yourself maybe 1-0 down, 2-1 down, and you maybe need these types of guys to come on and
they've got some
impact,
big players, aren't they? Especially going forward. I know we've just battered them 3-0, but see the boy Mudryk, the winger.
Yeah,
I thought he was excellent against Celtic, even though Celtic were by far the better.
He's
team.
Liverpool,
he was a, yeah, he was good, a major standout for Shakhtar. Yeah. And then the game last week,
Patterson played well,
everything
didn't he before
was good
he came
was through
up.
Him, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Patterson did well, aye.
Who will play up front for Scotland genuinely?
There's no Callan, so I don't know. I don't think there is another.
Christie maybe, but
I think it could be a Christie. Aye.
Yeah, it's not a bad shit.
There's no way before, else, isn't
he? And Fraser coming to the team.
Aye.
Mm.
Or he might.
Should we get Craig Levine in for this game? We're 4-6.
Is he
going to
do it?
I think so. Aye. Just kind of came back. Did you play in that 4-6 game?
How could I play? There's no fucking side in
were you sitting watching?
That's my 50th cap, supposed to be.
What you did in the 4-6, mate, you weren't there.
Please tell me, see when he flipped the chart over, was the team set up as 4 and then 6?
You know, I can't remember. I think the flip chart, I don't know if there was a flip chart, it was maybe me or
what
on the thing. It was fucking. But it was, I'm sure Doza and Moza were the.
Wingers?
No, the two. So there was like. A back four, effectively, right? But super narrow. There was then two guys
As wing backs almost.
Wing backs, so maybe a back six. And it was like a kind of box thing in the middle. So I thought Dawsa and Moza were like the top guys and were like, so one of them needs to try and, like, there was just nobody to go and support, you know? Aye. So you had to try and play your way through and move up the far. It was fucking mental. I mean, but anyway, we're a set play away for getting a 0-0. You know, as much as it's been battered and it was, for me, still probably know the right. But I still think you, even if you wanted to play a striker, tell one of them to at least go and be somebody you could hit. You know, but fuck.
Did you feel like that?
No, like, what are you supposed to do, you know? The first wee sniffy we got, it was on the training field. We were training at St. Milan. And we're like, there's no fucking striker in that team. What's going on here? What's going on?
Well, yeah, so see, when the boys all went back because there was no striker with the force to
you
try
had
and
to
play.
Try and play through, you know. I think, like I say, Graham Dorans, or I'm sure it was Graham Dorans, James Morrison, they two were playing, I mean, brilliant players, you know.
Yeah.
Outstanding footballers, but they were to try and find their way to get a hold of it, and we needed to play our way up. But we had, I think it was Ruben Kazan had played Barcelona, right? And they dropped off the ball, they dropped into the shape that we were now trying to replicate. But if I remember right, what they had strikers dropping into shape. So when they actually had the ball, they were able to rotate up. So they at least had somebody to play up and then get up to support. So, but like I say, it was a set play that done us for getting a 0-0.
I remember that.
But we were never scoring, we were never getting forward.
Did you ever have any managers that done it like that?
Aye. Kenny's involved in it as well. We played Motherwell at Ibrox, Pedro Kixinha. Well, 1-0 down at half time. That's a true story, do you remember?
I don't know, mate. For trying
to 1-0 down at half time. He took off. Waldo was injured. Took off Waldo. Took off Clint Hill. He took off Lee Hodgson, I'm sure it was. We went to a back three. You scored. Yeah. We went to a back three at Ibrox. Me, John Terrell, Mike O'Halloran, back three. Kenny, I'm telling you right now, Ibrox, and we won 2-1. It was a masterclass. We came back and won the game 2-1. I'm telling you right now, people remember this game.
What did he say at half time? Why he was doing it?
I'm sure Waldo and Clint were both injured, but he actually changed Lee Hodgson. I'm sure it was Lee Hodgson. It was definitely somebody in the right. And the back three was definitely me and John Terrell. And I'm sure the other right centre half was Michael Harlan. I'm telling you. And we came back 1-2-1. And I remember your goal as well.
I didn't score in that game. I couldn't.
I'm sure you scored. I'm sure it was across to the right and you've heeded it in.
The winning. No. That was a cup. That was a cup.
Was game.
That's a different game.
But 100% that happened.
So
honestly.
Did he say you're going to play there?
Aye.
What did you
think? I vaguely remember John Terrell having to fall in.
He was middle centre half. I was left centre half, and I'm 90% sure it was Michael Harlan right centre half. I'm telling you, people remember the game when for me saying that.
Send in,
we were able to go back and check it as well, because Waldo and Clint came up at half time. We went to like a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3, one of them. And they'll be able to check it with the three coming off at half time, three subs at half time as well.
Wow.
And I remember Motherwell having so many chances in the last 15 minutes of the game when we went 2-1 up.
That's brilliant. What a genius, Pedro. Aye. He's letting him down big time by him. Right, we just need to avoid defeat, the Ukraine. Confident.
It's a hard one, that though.
That is.
Your mentality, how you go in and approach that game.
How would you go for it?
I'll go right for the
four. Go for the
junkie, would you?
You've got. Yeah, I think when you start going and try to play for the draw, you end up forgetting yourself.
By the way, can I just say, nobody plays for the draw. The only people that talk it like this are the pundits, the guys who are speculating.
Sometimes
there's never inside our dressing room is anybody thinking, oh, we just need a draw. All they need is go and play. Just play the way they've been playing.
Well, you've obviously never met Dale Lyle, mate, every time you're fucking doing tweets, like, we'll take a draw here.
It's different.
Fucking 18 minutes in there. What a draw, man.
But do you think that Steve Clarke will change it a wee bit to try and be a bit more solid?
How is he going to do it? That would be the thing.
What guarantees that?
How are you going to do it? And it's no, like, what changes are going to be made to then try and protect it more than what we've done already? Because I think the changes for Ukraine were made because of what had happened previous. So if you were to go back, say, for instance, you went back to a back three, you're then maybe losing that opportunity to then go and maybe get, as much as you could probably still rejig it and still get a bit of pressure, you're losing a player somewhere, you know, because you've got three centre-backs now. What you have got with the centre-backs that we had been playing, but McKenna's out now, is they're super quick.
Yes,
so they can step really, I mean, the amount, we were left 2-for-2 on games, both of these games. We were quite happy to leave these guys 2-for-2. I mean, the ball was coming up to one of the strikers of Ukraine. How many times was Henry or McKenna, like that aggressive stepping in to go, and we're left 1v1.
Jack Henry was superb against Ireland. That's his best game for Scotland, I think. He was very good.
So I don't know. I don't know what changes you could make. I think he's got. He'll go a similar way. He's going to have to make changes.
I think. I do still think it will be a back four.
Yeah, definitely.
I've heard as I told you off camera. I've heard a wee whisper of who will play centre half. The real question mark is a striker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Could like, be back before like, six. Who's gave us this information? There,
him.
Is it just Paul Sledge? Is that it? I'm going to say they're not.
Sent you a voice note. Didn't
tell you what, it's a worry if they are.
There's Austin McPhee there, look. He's meant to be at the game, right? Yeah,
get a camera on.
Be Craigie Brown. But it's an added bonus.
Right, on you go, you sir.
An added bonus. If we win this group, we then take over England.
Wow,
then
what's happening
with him? Unbelievable, isn't it? What is going on? Do you know what, I'll tell you what's happening there? Southgate.
Wait. He's the most boring guy in the world,
isn't he? I've heard an Aussie with England do the recovery sessions, they do the spin bike. Southgate wears a helmet.
He's that type, isn't he?
Just in case.
But by the
way, what's happening? Do they play too safe?
But
you know, look at the teams they're playing. You know, they can get, you can lose these games.
Hungary are a different level.
But
they beat England 4-0, and they're like, that's a freak result. They're beating everyone on the top of that group.
You're leaving in the World Cup, I know.
Mental, how good they are, where they've came from.
But he's been so successful with England, his record's unbelievable.
I don't think so. His record is, but see that World Cup, the draw they got, goodness me. That's why he got away with it.
People forget they had home advantage and all. And I know it doesn't count for loads, but still an advantage, innit?
Mm-hmm.
And the World Cup before, especially, the run they had to get to the semis was...
Wow.
Some of the teams they were facing
were... Yeah. I gave Brendan Rodgers a job.
Did you?
But I'm still saying their squad's in the top three in the world for me.
England?
Aye.
France,
them.
But look at their midfielders. So you've got Declan Rice, Calvin Phillips and... Jordan Henderson is your midfield for me.
Well, Bellingham's.
Bellingham, that's true.
He's just incredible, mate. He's incredible. I don't care what age he is, he's incredible.
What's your back to
Maguire? Declan Rice is very good.
Maguire can't play for England. He's played him enough, but you can't play him.
He's been the best defender.
Are you amazed that Trent can't get in the squad?
I've no way playing.
No.
Because of how he's
defending the gaff. Unbelievable. But defensively, he's been poor, hasn't he, for Liverpool really this year especially. And Kyle Walker's unbelievable. I know he wasn't great for the Italy goal the other day, but Kyle Walker's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and for me, which by the way, if we rewind, what was that, 2 years ago now when Cal was on the podcast, what he said about Reece James?
Said he'd be the best.
He's no far wrong because she's unbelievable.
Mm. And his sister yesterday, she's unbelievable by it. She's brilliant, you seen her?
No.
Mate, what a player.
Ah, she's unreal.
Uh-huh. Sorry, I knew.
Cal came on the podcast 2 years ago. He'd played with...
Well, Daff, when did I say that about him?
Aye, Wigan as well, aye.
Daff, when did I say that about him? Aye. He says... straight away, he said, this boy's sensational. But they've got right-backs like we've got left-backs. They've got like three, 4 minutes. You need to forget about Trippier. Like, you know, like, he doesn't even get mentioned now.
You've got
Walker, you've got Trent, you've got James, and you've got Arnold.
Just want to say, Josh Windass got on a podcast that, do you want to say anything about it?
Is he?
Him, David Caldwell, and some other guy, they talk about boxing and
rubbish. You're joking.
I've seen that actually on his head. I didn't know what was a part of it.
The podcast he started, do you want to
game it? Or the best wee man.
I don't think it'll go well. Based on what?
Be Caldwell. Doesn't know what you're talking about. Don't you know?
Do you guys call him?
Better half of him, aren't you? What are you going to say there? Would you get rid of Southgate? I know he's what, like,
before the World Cup? Nah.
That's harsh.
No chance.
But you got him to the final?
Final, Euro final, aye.
Mm-hmm. Can't sack him.
I'd love to do it. I don't think. I think there's a better chance of winning the World Cup if he goes. I don't think there's any chance of winning it with him.
Right.
I think with that squad of players, they could be successful.
Mm-hmm. And you would genuinely go and get Brendan Rodgers, who's bottom of the league list, to take over.
That would be my tongue in cheek, but I would be looking maybe Tam Tuchel. Mm-hmm. Good shout, isn't it?
Tommy Tuchel. Because you don't like him either. You said he's hopeless.
Aye, but at this level, you'd be all right. But by the way, it's an unbelievable thing because he's not got a job on the right. You could just see him coming to the World Cup. Do you know what I mean?
Would that be successful? You know, got a relationship with players and...
But look, when they come into Chelsea and win the Champions League, so it's actually maybe better. That's an unreal shout.
Wow.
I should go viral this. It's not at all. It's not realistic.
What would you... You'd stick with Southgate,
huh? Of course.
Would you?
Absolutely.
You've got to, mate. Come on.
But do you... No matter what, the World Cup?
I personally don't think long term he's the right man for the job, but I think sacking him now would be...
Steve McClaren getting...
Would you know what? The World Cup? No.
What's that you're hearing?
That looks terrible. Can I just say it? That looks terrible.
Same as well.
Is it dry?
Sounds no. nicer.
Wet.
That's right. Right, Jason Cummins. Let's get him around that point. The cum dog's won the World Cup, mate.
Not a cum dog, do you not hear him? It's a cum dingo, he says when he's in Australia. It's not a bad shout, that, is it?
What a legend.
Tell me you said his accent, but...
Oh, his accent's fucking that's wild.
That's terrible, isn't it?
That's wild, that accent.
He's not changed his accent already.
He's got
the Aussie
twang already.
No.
It's that's shocking.
The greatest turnaround I've ever seen. For that night at the Hydro, the morning he woke up, remember?
Mate, I've
talked to James McPake with the face paint still on, try to see if he wasn't there.
He sent me two texts, like, saying thank you so much, Open Goal, for like
changing my life.
Changing my life, aye.
I honestly expect him to see him sitting outside the doorway after that Hydro show. My wee cup asking for money, but how he's turned it around is incredible, isn't it?
He wanted as soon as he stashed off him, didn't he?
Kept saying he's going to scalp Graham Souness.
I know.
Found his way back home, isn't it? Back across to Australia. We tried to take him. We tried to sign him to Australia.
In Australia?
Yep.
And how did negotiations go?
Speak to him. He's up for it because he's got the Australia, or he had the opportunity to get an Australian passport. Spoke with Aldo, spoke numbers. But it was a good offer we gave him. He ended up going to Dundee.
Dundee?
Rather than coming across, right? We tried to sign him. It was fine. We met at Western Sydney. Tried to take him across, but he just didn't fancy it at that time. Then ends up going to Central Coast.
It's the best thing that's ever happened to him, isn't
it? Yeah.
Because he has a bit of a can, isn't he? But he's actually, do you know what? He is actually a very lovable boy. Yeah. See in the dressing room, he's no this.
He's a great boy.
Poison Charles, really, if people think he is, he's no at all. He actually worked hard. He's a good boy. Brilliant in the dressing room. He's the type of boy that needs the right fit, and obviously he is there because he's a main man. Obviously loves the lifestyle he's got, and he's been on fire, to be fair. The boy that we've got, Hearts, Kai Rolls. He was his teammate last year, and I asked him about him. He says, "Oh mate, it was brilliant for us.
Did
as soon as he came in, brilliant in the dressing room." As a player on the pitch, he said he scored about 10 goals or
did
something
I?
In half a season.
Aye. Yep.
So.
Is he a good finisher?
Honestly,
he's a decent finisher. Give him a chance, he'll score.
I'm buzzing for him.
Because he had a shocker at the Hydro.
I do think, see if he had a podcast on his career, he would be amazing. I've told you some of the Steve Evans stories that he had with him and that. And like if he had his own podcast, it would be brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm going to hear him back now the day one.
Do you know, is Gus Hiddink the Australian manager?
Don't know, but he's not. Picture with Gus saying it.
I don't
know
if he's
so was he doing there?
He used to be there. He must have just been there watching the game.
Just hangs about, doesn't he? He's not even Australian, is he? What is he? South African, is it?
Who, Gus Hiddink?
Russian.
Is he Dutch?
South African.
He might be born in South Africa, but he's Dutch.
Why the fuck is Gus Hiddink hanging about the Australian team?
If he was a manager,
no, he's a previous manager.
So why is he still hanging out?
Maybe wait to see the cum dog play.
The cum
just
dingo.
The cum dog, cum dingo. Have you played the players that have gone to World Cup? What is it?
I was reading that question.
Jackson Oven.
He invented the Dutch.
But you played with Jackson? And Doug Shite when he first came to Celtic. No, but first he was Doug Shite and then became a really good player. Just shows you if you stick in and you've got that self-belief. And then, I mean, the last time I seen him was at Nando's when I got let go for Celtic, it was Cuddling us. And I was thinking...
He was trying
to console me, and I'm thinking, mate, you're the next one to go.
So you in a couple of weeks.
I've got a couple of weeks, so I wanted to do the same to you. I can't believe it. And then 6 years later, I turned on the telly and he was playing against Pogba in France, the World Cup. Couldn't believe it. But
he's actually a good player as well.
Yeah, he's
jumping down. Horrible to play against, sorry, when he was at Ross County, he was fucking...
Athletic,
runner.
What? I was reading that question. There'll be a few, but one that proper stood out to me. See, when I was at Middlesbrough, I can't remember what World Cup it would have been, 2012 maybe, and it was the same time where Argentina were in the same group as Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
and one of the boys that played for Nigeria at the time, Kenneth Amero, do you remember him? He was at Chelsea.
No.
He came on loan to Middlesbrough after that World Cup, and I'm sure it was 1-0 Argentina, but Nigeria were very good and he was unbelievable. I mean, he came to us, man, fuck, he was hopeless, mate. Hopeless. And he was at Chelsea.
Was it the boy Braithwaite at Celtic? He's playing with him.
Edson Braithwaite hit you back, he's not in the World Cup final. He came on an extra time World Cup final against Spain.
Edson Braithwaite. He's shy at Celtic.
Honking, and then he's another one.
Left back.
He signed the same transfer window as me.
Braithwaite?
Did he?
Same drabs, the same.
That's that could be the worst transfer window in Celtic history.
Wait, so what was that at Holland?
Bad window.
Mate, and he played with, like, he won the World Cup final against Spain in extra time and got one touch in the ball, but it fucked it back his nut. He didn't even see it coming. Somebody played a long ball and he was chased it and it fucked it back his head, and then that was his only touch, but fuck, it was a
Do you remember him?
No.
I don't remember him. Nah,
he came to Bayern Munich.
Aye, he played with Bayern.
Did they play?
Came on loan, I he played at Celtic. Stinking. Do you remember Nguemo? Were you there with Nguemo?
Nah.
Oh, I remember him. Landry's
amazing.
Brilliant.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That was good.
Can you tell it again? Because
I swear to God, I've not.
And Glenn was the fittest wee guy ever. Bruni had been out for about full of pre-season. Bruni came back for like a week of pre-season. And Gwemo was, what a player he was, eh? See, pre-season, I was like, this guy's, Bruni's not getting back in it. And then they'd done a bleep test, Bruni'd been back a week, and we all kind of slowly fell away, and it was just Bruni and Gwemo. Bruni'd only been back a week, mate. You could tell that Bruni obviously wasn't 100% fit, mate, but he was not letting this wee guy, because obviously everyone was saying, oh, Gwemo's brilliant, and Gwemo's
brilliant.
And Bruni just kept running, mate, and the wee guy just fucking fell out, and Bruni just kept going for another 10 runs or something, man. Just unbelievable mentality, mate.
That's mad.
And that was the end, mate. After that, honestly, I'm not just saying this. See, after that, when Bruni got himself back fit, and Gwemo went, mate. I don't know if he was fucking scared of what Bruni was doing. I'm like,
still shattered for that, you.
Shite in his socks or something in the dressing room, because the wee guy absolutely went after that, mate.
He was good at something.
Mate, you've seen him after. I've seen him after. Holy fuck, he's unbelievable.
Arsenal tried to sign him.
You must have played with a few at the World Cup.
I can't remember, boys. It would have went right to a World Cup. I'm trying to think, was that first time we went to Rangers 2000? The World Cup would have been in 2 years' time, so I'd left. My Wolves team, probably not. Just that thing, if you've been anybody.
And then Welsh boys have had that. Nah. That was Euros, wasn't it?
That was Euros 2016. Nah.
That guy.
We were away pre-season when the Euros were on that year.
Aye.
That guy I told you about, speak about all the time, that Namibian, he was Swindon, Oliver Russell.
The guy
who DeCarney deliberately put him on loan and let him play against us. He played for Namibia. It was like a World Cup qualifier, so DeCarney wanted us to go in the room again because he was a centre mid. I was a centre mid. He was going to be the captain. So first night away, he gets out the laptop and he's got his thingies on his lap. Yeah. He had this weird accent, right? So I was like, what are you watching? He's like, you know Essien, yeah? And I was like, Michael Essien? He's like, yeah. He went, I played him World Cup cover, I kick his ass. So then he flips the laptop in, mate, and he's got like every clip and like, he's not even tackling him, mate. And he's like, look at that, yeah. You like that, y'all? So I'm like, this guy
is
must
he
be unreal. Mate, it's a mad German accent. I don't know if you know Namibia. And I'm like, this guy must be good.
I don't know if you know Namibia, mate. Speak German or that.
But you're thinking, this guy must be good, mate. Like, yeah, he was getting essay in a bit, mate, and went out and he was absolute dug shite, man. But he was, he was buzzing off it.
I think big Bugera, maybe he went to a World
Cup. Algeria. You see a joke, Ken? Everyone says he was a joke.
Oh, he's brilliant, aye. What a player, like.
What, good at what? Everything
I could defend. He was quick, strong. I mean, obviously, he was a big lump of a boy. Loved to get forward. I mean, I remember that goal he scored against Dundee United.
Aye,
where he kept, I think it was 7-1. He just kept dribbling. He loved the dribble. No, he was a good player. I'm sure he went, that would have been 2000, and what would that have been? 2010? I think we played against England, I don't know.
Yeah,
Algeria might have had against England, so
what kind of guy was he?
Maybe I ended up having a wee bit of a tear up on that day, right? Because he kept coming back late every time. So I'd say we're playing Champions League and he had turned up late to come back the week before. So I think the gaffer never played him because he had turned up late. So we were asked about it again. I get peeled out any time there was controversy. So I was asked about it and I said, no, it's not good enough. He's done it 2-3 times. So a big man wasn't happy. So he came for me in training. So then I end up volleying him back and everything comes back. That week we kind of made up. I think I came on and scored the winner against Hamilton or something. And we were kind of back pals again.
Was it just in training? He just came up and smashed you?
He just came and he done us late off the ball. And I knew what he was doing because he wasn't happy that I'd fucking had a wee bit of a goal because he had been late back. But what a player, man.
Bruno Alves, he would have been to a few World Cups.
Definitely. He'd have done well in World Cups.
Aye. He missed a penalty.
Was he a joke, Andy?
He was very good. Obviously, his career's been unbelievable. But obviously, it goes without saying, he didn't make the impact that was expected for somebody of his calibre.
He won the Euros. He won the Euros, that's right.
He definitely missed a penalty. He missed a big penalty, won a knockout rounds for Portugal. I remember that. Might have actually been the game against England. Remember, was that 2004? When Ronaldo ends up scoring the winner, when Ronaldo gets sent off. I'm sure it was that game he missed a penalty in the shootout. But the best I've ever seen in there. Unbelievable. Just would just attack the ball through anyone. Ridiculous. But he smashed Jordan Rossiter, one of the worst tackles I've ever seen in training.
And Rossiter had bad injuries.
Jordan Rossiter had just came back to like 85 inches.
Why did he do it?
He had that sort of nasty streak in him. Not in a bad way, but just competitive. If his team was getting battered, no, but Jordan Rossiter got up and leveled him like 5 minutes later on the tackle. No fighting.
And
a tackle about 5 minutes later, to be fair, but Jordan just came up and smashed him straight after.
And it was one of the tackles boy,
where bad tackles you train all the time. It was one of the tackles where boys like, what the fuck, what was that?
That was horrendous.
Try to injure somebody that.
Mm-hmm. Were you there when Petrov smashed Snowy like that? Remember Petrov was trying to get away with you saying like that?
I would have been there, I think.
They just started rolling about. That was like a heavyweight boxing match, mate. Unbelievable.
Wait, who smashed who?
Petrov smashed Snow. Petrov was trying to get out.
Oh, was he?
Mate, one of the worst tackles I've ever seen, eh? But Big Snowy got up and went for it, and him and Petrov were rolling about, mate. It's one of those like two heavyweight boxers, man. Brilliant.
It's a good fight.
Brilliant.
Did Snowy go to a World Cup? I mean, he played a couple games in Holland. Danny McGrain hated Snowy, mate.
Was he rubbish?
I don't know what you are. Used to say, I don't know what you did. After every reserve game, mate, he hated Snowy, man. Snowy's like, this guy fucking hates me. Right, we're on to fans' questions.
No, yeah. What's your favourite ever World Cup?
Oh, you, before your time, Baggio hits it on the bar. What was that, 90?
2002, the green one, Japan?
2002, aye.
That's probably one of the first ones I'd actually probably watched.
Was that right? Because that'd have been two, that can't have been right.
You like that? Yeah,
no,
that?
Baggio was...
94?
It wasn't, aye. It might have been later than that, no?
Was it? I think it was 94, Kenny. 98 would have been France won it. Yeah. Italy, Brazil won it in 94, Baggio hit the penalty over the bar.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Sky, yeah.
2002 is always the one that I remember. The R9 ripped
up. Japan, Korea, win it.
Rivaldo, remember when the Turkish boy kicks about Rivaldo and he goes down, the boy gets sent off. But Rivaldo. Was that Ronaldinho go against England? That's the 2002 World Cup winner.
Like Seaman was struggling, wasn't he?
Seaman was all over the place, wasn't it? It's like you at
last night. Yeah, who's that? Do you know my most ever World Cup memory?
Stuart Beale, a bit like Stuart Beale. Sorry,
boy, psycho. Big psycho. By the way, he's the reason West Ham only doing well. He's away. And they brought in Warburton. No, I didn't. No,
you're in the wrong company.
I didn't even mean that.
You're in the wrong company.
No, he is there now.
I think he will.
Yeah, that's the reason, though.
No, because psycho's away, because psycho's tactically unreal.
Is he?
Remember, if you go to shoot somebody's lawn.
What are you basing Psycho being tactical and real on?
No, he's like, he's no tactics at all.
He's one of them, we just need to get fucked in, isn't he? That's what Psycho says before every team talk.
Make sure you get fucked in. Yeah. I want your best memory, though, of one incident. Mine is, and I don't want it to be, but it was unreal. Michael Owen when he scored for Argentina. Remember, it was incredible. 18.
What a goal.
That was unbelievable, by the way.
I can't remember it. I remember the goal, but I can't remember, like, at the time. Mine would probably be Ronaldinho's goal against England.
Seaman,
aye.
Mine would be Tom Boyd kicking off his own face into his own net after Brazil.
I was 98
I was going to go maybe a Scotland goal or a World Cup maybe for that game against Brazil.
You'll go for
it. Was a Scotland goal, like an own goal. Yeah.
Who was it in the script? Was it John Collins?
John Collins, didn't he? Done that. We six packed him into the crowd.
Started 30 press ups, he done after the goal, didn't he?
The World Cup's the best. That's better than 8 and
looking forward to it.
Oh, it's the best. I'm actually, it was my dream to go to a World Cup, so I might actually go.
2010, my worst World Cup, South Africa.
How annoying were they?
Every game, listen to that noise for 90 minutes.
Was
I hated that.
Was it 98 Ronaldo had a meltdown before the final?
Aye.
Right, we're on to YouTube questions.
Superb, big Tommy Calderwood. Tommy Calderwood, what is the best or worst interaction with a fan the guys have had? I'm starting you, sir.
I had a stalker at Swindon.
No.
Hard to believe a bird. Jeanette, her name was. Started with letters. Swear, mate. This isn't a joke. That's my message. She was fucking raging. Started off with letters coming to the club. So the boys would all gather around and listen to it, and it would go like fucking deep, mate, like sexual. And then she started caring about misses in the letters.
No.
Swear. She's like, far too good for you. You're far too good for her. I seen you walking up the road where nowhere near in your league or not. So we wrote back to her and got her to meet us at Burger King. We went and drove, and there was a woman. She had a kid. She had a kid with her. And then Faye there kind of knew who she was at Swindon games. Jeanette, her name was. I'll not say her second name, but
no way. It was
crazy, mate. Crazy times.
Wow.
That was weird.
I'm gonna stalk her, mate. It's a bad day, that, isn't it?
That was creepy, man. I don't think.
But you remember at City Celtic and Rangers, you know, get fans hanging about. When I was a young boy, Celtic fans, there was like hundreds of fans hanging about the ground every day.
And it's
that was wee birds on it, though, eh?
That is always birds.
Nah. Wasn't it? At Celtic, it was like always a wee group of birds.
Wee young birds for you.
What about
you? You'd have been young at the time as well, wouldn't you?
We were not used to.
I think I've told my one on here that the one that sticks out was when the wee boy, it was after we get beat 5-1 against Celtic at the Apple store in Braid.
Why do people do that?
I know.
Rubbish.
I know.
It's so strange. You
see when I grabbed the phone, I know. I always remember thinking, like,
what am I going to do here?
What am I doing?
Hand it back and all, you were the phone back.
Because he was like, I'm not joking, he was generally 15 max, but I'm that raging that I've grabbed the phone and I went, wow,
there you go, mate.
It back and it was like, I remember thinking at that time, though, because it was, you know what Apple stores like, they're always packed. I remember just thinking, why have I done that? Like, that'll be out somewhere now that I've done that.
And did it come?
Because remember Waggy?
That's the school boy.
You got done,
was like, literally running about the same time. I'm saying maybe a week or two apart, and I was after. And I remember all the stuff off of that, and Waggy didn't come out well at the end of that. But at the end of the day, mate, like,
you lose your head, don't you?
You lose your head. It's
emotion, can't expect, isn't it? But honestly, so I'm thinking that question. I thought, no, there's nothing I can think of. But that same game, whatever happened after the game. But that week, I was in the Asda, walking through it, and some guy was just walking behind, filming me, giving it all about the 5-1. I'm walking about the aisles, like, picking up my cakes and my salads and all that. And this guy's just kept following me, and he was just kind of just chatting through, singing away, and it actually goes and makes a paper out because he puts it out there, and I'm like,
did you say anything?
I maybe turned and said something, but nothing. They're actually quite calm about it, but you're like, come on, days are tough.
Do you remember, sorry Andy, do you remember Charlie's run with the Blackburn guy?
That's the best I've ever heard.
Did he tell
about
the hydro?
No, I told it on the podcast.
He was not on the podcast.
Yeah,
the wee guy,
it
was a postman.
Did he tell on the podcast?
I'm sure he told it the SWG3 podcast.
Maybe told the SWG3, I think, because it was about that time he told us the story. That was genius.
That's one of the best things I've ever heard.
That is funny.
So that's it. What about it? Would there ever be fans like coming into Murray Park or anything?
Oh, mate, I don't know. No, you wouldn't have been here. Gerard was the manager at the time. This is a God's honest true story. So, as you know, obviously Rangers and Celtic, everything's gated, like you kind of get in, you might be able to stay at the gate and get to wait for the players to dive away to get signatures at once. There was one day we came in for training, right? And obviously you come in, get your gear off, shower or whatever, and you go into the canteen. There was one day that Steven Gerrard came marching through the canteen, raging, looking for somebody. I think he was looking for like Hannah or one of the player liaisons or something. But you could tell something had happened, and he's like marched straight back out. He's came back off the training pitch one day, and there was a fan sitting in his office.
No.
Sitting in his office, like waiting to question him about like what results. And I swear to God,
fuck's sake.
I obviously don't know much else about it because I don't know what happened, but he was fucking fuming. And see for that day, like two or three security guards never came back, like lost their job for that day. And see the actual security in the building for there, everything was Thorpe related, like you couldn't go through certain doors without Thorpe's. Mate, mental. Wow. There was a fan just sitting in his office. And see in the office, right, you need to get through, obviously, the main door, at the main gate at Murray Park, the main reception, past the academy bit, past the gym and everything, go up the stair to the office. So how he's got there is mental.
Mate, that's done well.
It's done unbelievable. I Pink Panther.
The best podcast ever, isn't it?
Because that smell's not here.
That smell.
Mm-hmm. Well, we go on to the next
can
one.
I, can I ask? Because I feel that I've not really got many answers here, so maybe can I host it?
The Clyde fans about, are Air fans then in there?
What about Broomie? Any senses have been at the Broomie?
Well, the fucking guy called my mattress.
Stadium announcer stayed at my house Saturday night, which was strange.
I know, I.
She's ready. Yeah, that,
what was going on with? But Sally's waking up in the morning. He's like,
no.
None of that, no. Sally's gone for a pint of milk.
Right, so you hosting us,
man? I'll host it because I've not really, I'm not offering much.
I think he's a brilliant.
Hey, here we go. If you could have.
You need to read out who the questions are. Come on, tune in.
There's no point in that
C-54-54,
yeah. C-54-54. If you could have.
R2-D2's, bro.
If you could have played under one manager, past or present, who would it be and why? It's a great question.
I'm going to go
David O'Leary.
I was going to go Gary Megson, I know.
Just for the smell. Aye. David O'Leary when he leads to the Champions League semi, remember?
I'm going
to
go Prime Mourinho. And I obviously Pep for stay up play the way he is with fit up players. But see Prime Mourinho, that Chelsea Mourinho, for me, him, the ultimate winner. See the relationship he had with his players. Like you could tell every player that played in that Chelsea team, the way they talk about Mourinho, man. Mm-hmm. Like your Essiens, your Lampards, Drogba's, Terry's.
Remember he had in the laundry basket going to in the new camp.
That's right. Remember, have you seen the one with him and Matarazzi after the game?
It's
good.
I love him.
You did after the game,
didn't
you?
I love him.
Naked. Well, who's yours?
Guardiola's obvious. Klopp's obvious. I think after watching the Simeone documentary, I'd want to play.
But their training looks like brilliant. That is the most regimental training, but obviously works for them.
Because you talk about the way the boys speak about Mourinho, the way these boys speak about Simeone is incredible. They would die for him.
Do you not think like that's probably one of the he's probably one of the unluckiest managers about for me? Like how none of the actual PSGs, Barca's, Real's, Chelsea.
Mate, I think they will love him. I'm telling you, but he's the highest paid manager in the world.
Just doesn't want to leave there.
And it's a brilliant fit he's got going on there. I mean, you see that. Have you watched his documentary? It's sensational. Look at his life.
This is a cracker.
I'd love to forget playing him. I'd love to go and work with him.
Yeah.
Like imagine working with him.
I had always said Bielsa, but Leeds Bielsa put me off a wee bit.
Man for man, mate, against better teams is crazy now.
Plus, I didn't like the fact that he just never learned English. That annoyed me.
Have you watched Under 23? You watched Under 23 documentary? No. Leeds just came out. That's it. It's man for man.
Everywhere, I
just follow your man.
Calvin Phillips came out and said, didn't he, that they used to dare 11v11 on two pitches, man for man. So oh two 11-a-side pitches, man for man. That was their training session.
That's wild. Mine would be Sammy Lee. Then he took the bottom.
Don't remember him, didn't he? Now, do you know who it might be, Jalen? We've not mentioned it, Sir Alex. That would have been the best.
You're letting your mask slip here.
No, I would. Because I grew up obviously loving Sir Alex.
Tell Kenny the truth.
No, hey,
he thinks that Sir Alex couldn't manage in this day and age.
No, I don't.
Oh, come on.
No, you don't.
That's a lot of shit, by the way.
That's a scratch.
A good manager, a good manager.
He said it three or four times and always asked it to be cut.
He's the best ever.
You putting him as the best ever? Are you putting him as the best ever?
Aye. Pep's the best ever, surely.
But even Mourinho in that
for time. Him, Pep and Mourinho, that's the two. Because Pep, man, Pep's just, he is the man, isn't he?
Supposedly Pep went to watch with Sammy Lee at Bolton, isn't it, before he took
it. That's his club, was it?
Have you seen Pep talk about Arteta? But that, like, this is like years ago, talking about him. It's mad, that, isn't it?
Tell you a crack manager.
Arteta's brilliant.
No, tell you a crack manager. Tony Adams.
Oh, I'm so happy that's came up. I forgot about that.
Strictly.
Hey, Tony. That's the best bit.
I love to be in high seed, honestly. Right,
here's a serious one. This is a good one for Kenny, I think.
Aye, for Kenny. Question for Kenny. I have a 7-year-old wee boy who's been great for his team and I'll never put pressure on him. But I'd like to know, at what age did all of you know you were a cut above the rest or get scouted invited to train with the team.
Fuck me, this is painful.
You've been brought through. Fuck me, can you see anything?
Somebody take a gun in the PC.
did you get any of that there? Did you get that?
Just read it, Kerry.
Yeah, right, so I've read that. You know, it's a funny question that, because I never got scouted when I'd been training with teams when I was 12, but I never got asked to go on to Hibs. Loads of my teammates had signed up in the S-forms it was back then. I was probably one of the last ones that I did say. I never signed till I was about 15, and I was literally going on full time.
So you played boys club until you were 15?
Boys club till I was 15. But it was different. You know, I had academies and all that then.
Yeah.
I played for Hibs under 16s, but that was the first time, all the kind of Premier League clubs, the senior clubs got an under 16 league. So I played for Hibs in it. But I still, even at that point, under 16, I still hadn't signed, like committed to going full time with Hibs. So Wee Parkey came to me through that season actually and says he want me to go in full time, but it was near the end of the season.
So was it Wee Parkey that
he took the team? He took that team, aye. But Wee Parkey did everything though. Like I remember when I would be in school holidays for when I was 12, so he'd be there Easter, summer, whatever it was. Parkey was there carrying the goals, doing, getting everything set up. So he was with me right through from 12 to when I left at 20. So I mean, what a coach, man. What a guy.
What would you say though about a
different with the academy thing. The club's taking so many players, you know, and we know there's how many are going to make it. Mm. You know, I think it's maybe more beneficial to actually stay where they're at
up until a certain age.
Until you get, because by the way, going in at 7 or 8 or 9, I think. I know the clubs need want to do it because they want to make sure everybody's getting the same opportunities, but it might not be the best for the
See, one thing about that with academy things, and I know it's different when you're old and you look back on it, but I used to always hate when I was at Rangers at 14, 13, 14, 15, I used to hate the fact they never let me play with the school.
I was going to say that should academy change that.
Because see, watching your schoolmates and all getting to Scottish Cup semi-finals and that, like, it's still memories, isn't it? I played football in some of the best days of people's lives. I used to hate the fact they never used to let boys play for school.
Do you think you change that at academies?
I don't know if they have though. But see, generally, right, the cut above the rest question, I never felt that at any stage up until maybe literally about 16 when I made my first team debut. Because see, when I was like, my boys club team, right, had some unbelievable players, like unbelievable, and John Fleck was in my boys club team as well. Then see, we went to Rangers, I was playing the year above, and again Flecky was my age playing the year above, and Flecky was just miles ahead of me at that age. And then boys in that age group, even though I was playing a year older, were still better than me. Then obviously with the Osgood Slaters got released, and then see when I went to Livy, I'd probably say when that's when I started to feel a bit better on what was running about me, because I got more opportunities with training my first team, getting day release for school. But mine wasn't it, I was literally about 15, 16.
Mm.
I was probably just about the same as other boys up until that age.
How about you?
I knew. For a young age. Really, but I knew for right on.
Did you see this like that?
Million is better than everybody else. Anyways,
millions better
than everybody else. Just like running by everyone.
It's just far too easy for me.
You know, there is boys like that though. There's boys like that at younger ages. No saying that you didn't go on and do it afterwards, but I had the boy, Alan Notman, who went down to the same age as me, striker. Our old boys playing the same team, so we'd be at the training with all, but and this boy was on, he went to Man United.
Yeah.
He actually played a few times for Man United, and this, he was absolutely sensational. He got bad injuries when he was at my ankles, and I think he ended up at Norwich, and then he kind of faded it, but see, he's a young player.
How did they know them there with their career?
Yeah.
Some people are lucky.
You might be a joke.
Some people are lucky.
Everybody said you were unbelievable.
I actually remember, right, this is mad that I remember this, but I do. I remember at Old Firm Derby, Youth Derby at Ibrox that you played in, you were unbelievable.
Mm.
Mad that, do you remember the game I'm talking about at Ibrox?
I wonder what happened when I got in the first one, I was so
your
bad.
Your ankle?
No, you can't have an excuse.
Oh, it was, and that age, it's a crucial age, you're 2 years out.
Well, see when you were, like, obviously you were that good in that, what were you like to other boys in your team that maybe weren't as good?
Bam them up, right up, correct.
Aye. No, I've got an unbelievable hank debate in my head. I have. So
oof,
I would
always how often is this debate had in that head.
Who won?
So it's a hard one. I would always say to parents and they need to enjoy it, right? The day. But that's when my man and dad brought us up. We were kids to enjoy everything. But we are three fuckwits. Us three, the three kids, right? Now, Tiger Woods, his dad so strict on him, so right, and almost took away his being a kid. But look where he got to. So I don't know if it should you be? I don't know. It's so hard. But you need to be a kid, didn't you?
You're talking about the percentage that makes it. There's a percentage of Tiger Woods out there.
Nah,
Aiden was unbelievable, mate. Like, I thought I was a good player until I seen Aiden playing. Like, Aiden would be the best player on the pitch, mate. And see, when he came off, his dad would be screaming at him, and you'd be like,
his dad would?
Uh-huh. His dad was like so hard on him, but again, I don't know if that helped him or hindered him. But
because maybe what I was kind of thinking is maybe when you grow up and when there does things go against you, a manager shouts at you, you deal with it much better.
Mm.
Because you've had it with your dad growing up or whatever, I don't know.
Aye.
But you need to, like, the kids need to enjoy football.
What was your dad like with you?
It was fine. No hard at all. I mean, again, I just got on with things, got on my own. I watched him all the time. He was, because that's what got me into football, going to watch him playing. He was like amateur, running about the junior scene, running about Edinburgh. So I loved going to watch him, but I just...
So if you never played well, you wouldn't have sent it to Canada?
Nah, no, really, no. No, really, he wouldn't. Like, no. We would maybe have I can't even remember any discussion we had, but we talked about after games, because I did, like, he watching him play, he was a really, really good player, actually. Yeah. Just never got the break, because that's a lot of it's luck, you know. You need a coach to like you, a manager to like what you do. I mean, going in it, when I was in at Hibs, I managers took a liking to me straight away, and I'm the same. There's guys on my youth team that were absolutely incredible footballers, but never quite got the break, or other things came in their way, actually, being a footballer. But it was I could cut above the rest. I actually even was well into my in at Hibs before I kind of realised, right, there's maybe something I had that maybe they never, maybe it was just pure work ethic, you know, and dedication to actually go and do it.
Aye.
But for where I was at, there was so many good players.
Right? I'm not taking the piss here, to be funny, right? Do you know what I generally think gave me an extra bit? My granddad started paying me £1 a goal when I got to, I swear to God, when I got to about 15, 16, and I just couldn't stop scoring after that. I swear to God. At youth level, I was just, because I when I was younger, I was a winger, and I was like a goal scoring winger. And then obviously, because I actually said this to the 20s a couple of weeks ago, when I got my move to Middlesbrough, was League 2 at Livy, it was no because I was playing well. I was playing shit football. Ball was in the air the full 90 minutes. It was because I scored goals. So she, because I scored 15 goals that season at 17-year-old, that's what got me noticed. It wasn't because I was playing well in games, because I would hardly touch it most of the time.
What was your dad like with you?
All right, it was actually probably me and my mother than my dad.
Your mother, she does not have football, man.
So she's probably one that was more harsher than my dad. And my dad was a bit more laid back, relaxed, just. But even my mother, she wasn't like pure harsh or that. But if I was shit, she would say something.
See, Robbie never got any of your his technique kicking the ball, mate. Baffles me that he plays at any level with that technique.
Is he not got?
He must be a good tackler, mate.
He's got the Elvis
tackle. It's strange. I couldn't explain his technique to you, Kenny.
Everything's curly, there's no zing.
It's a curl.
Dragon's in his body. So, what would your dad give you a goal?
Never. My dad never really came to watch me. He'd probably hate me saying that, but just kind of left us to get on with it.
My dad used to all smoke fags at his side, man.
Aye. Did he?
Always, mate. It was so embarrassing.
Snout?
Just puffing fags the whole game.
I honestly think it's one of the worst things ever, though, when you see your football and there's parents that just shout all the time.
I think that should be banned, that, mate.
I'm not encouraging. Encouragement's brilliant, but like,
no telling kids what to do. No, that's
shouting at refs. Shouting at refs under sevens and eights.
Coming on for a scrap when the decision goes against them.
A good question, I like that.
That was a good question.
Question for the boys. Which player that you played with have you seen have the biggest fucking beast of a training session over your careers? Love the pod by you and Lindsay.
Oh, I remember I had one of my worst training sessions. I don't know if you were at Celtic. Were you Morgan? No.
Who?
Morgan at Celtic.
No.
I had one of the worst training sessions that I've ever had, and I actually thought football is no for me. I think it was wee Scotty McDonald just fucking terrorised as a falsehood. But it was a particularly bad session. I remember sitting in my house thinking, I'm nowhere near good enough to play football, man. That was a fucking beast. I'm talking, every time I got the ball, I gave it away.
I had that way, you know.
For 2 years, mate.
I'm just laughing because as you're talking, I'm thinking, like, I can remember there's some real bad performances that I've actually, guys that have been in teams in prep sessions going into a game that I've played themselves out of a team.
Aye.
And a right few, but I couldn't think of any specifics, but now one's just came to me. I was at Dundee, there was one. I'm no naming names. End all, I'm no naming names. But we trained on the pitch and this ball was getting shelled at the pitch. It was gone. By the way, no did he play Celtic team. He was out the team for the second half of the prep game. He had an absolute stinker.
Can't make care that shit.
it was incredible.
I don't know.
Honestly, it was like, you actually felt like, for me, I still thought, right, that was still harsh. You know, but end up out the team for the next half of the thing. But there's boys that I've seen have real bad sessions in these kind of tactical prep sessions, played themselves in the team.
I've got three.
Because I was thinking about this when I seen this question last night, and I was like, three just kept coming up to me all the time. I'll scan through three of them. One, me, my first training session at Hearts.
Are you saying that?
Wow. Because I had not trained in 7 months. Mm-hmm. Through lockdown, I couldn't go anywhere. Right. I did not kick a ball. And then I was straight in at Hearts, and I just trained the first day, and I couldn't control the ball, mate. And see, at the point where you're like, right, just concentrate, relax, fucking concentrate, that made it worse. Because you're just overthinking every stupid thing that came natural to you. And I remember,
were you actually starting to get nervous when the ball was coming?
No, really not, because it got to the point where I was just laughing at myself. But it gets to the point where you're like, they're going to think I'm horrific. Honestly. But it was like that. Kyle Oliver at Middlesbrough, a boy you'll never know, is the boy that was that bad. Gordon Stratton gave him 50 quid and told me, go and have a night out and come back tomorrow. Because Gordon Stratton actually said, were you out last night? The boy was like, no, it's that 50 quid. You're out tonight, come back. You cannot train as bad as that. And then Umar Sadiq's first session at Rangers.
How bad are we talking? Can you control the ball?
Really poor, aye. And mate, look at the career he's having there.
Where's he associated?
Fair play to him. No, associate that, just saying.
I think he is associated.
20 million or something. We done it, so this was him, Mick Beale, out playing your opponents. We did that, so it was a 6-goal game. 3 goals that side, 3 goals that side, and it's literally a game. And it was more a focus on like switch a play to scoring like side goals. Umar Sadiq's first training sessions, when they put him as an end man in football, it's just the easiest job ever.
You just knock it back,
you just knock it back to them, mate. I've never seen a ball spoon high after somebody's foot so much for like a solid 20 minutes.
Wow.
And like, it's the first time I've actually had a manager call it out as well when it was his first session. Like, I think Mick Beale ended up saying like, what the fuck are you doing, like pass the ball back properly, and he just kept spooning off his foot. But the career he's had, fair play to him, generally fair play to him, because you would never have seen that coming with the way he was training at the time at Rangers. But he was always a decent finisher, to be fair.
Right.
But he actually sees all round games. I've actually watched a couple of games. I watched a game that he played against, was it Man U in the Europa League?
He was good, wasn't he? He was good.
Do you feel bad when you see somebody having a nightmare, or are you buzzing inside?
Depends what type.
No, I hate it.
See if it's your mate, but see if it's your mate, it's fucking brilliant, isn't it?
No, because it's one of the ones where if it's a type of session where it's a bit more a laid back session, that you can make it.
Aye, but it's not, I know what you mean, it's no nice thing. But, like,
but you've also seen guys when you're doing like a passing draw and you're asking maybe like a drilled pass out for a crossing and finishing thing, and you've got it's a wee 1-2 and a drill out to and the guys pull the old curly toe, and then the McGaffer goes, no, do it again, do it. He curly toes it again, and we're all like that. Oh my God, if we're going to just get somebody else to do it or move it, at least just put the ball out there and let the cross. I've seen a guy go 3-4 times in the curly.
even at someone like Rangers.
Bye.
Well, I was just about to say, right, don't mention the name because the boy already hates me, right? But do you remember at Rangers? do you remember at Rangers when Wobbs used to do the session where it would be like the clip in behind for a striker to run onto? Do you remember a specific player? That just
I remember it was, but I can't remember who it was.
He couldn't clip it over a mannequin to put somebody on goal. I always remember that as a session as a beast, but I'm definitely not naming the player. He fucking hates me, man.
Does he?
Oh, he hates me. I'll say it after because you know what I'm talking about, because I've told a story about him before, which wasn't meant to be bad, but it didn't take well.
I had one the other day. I get to be you, didn't I? Missed 2 pence in training.
So you did, that was a bad one.
Missed 2 pence
in training.
Absolutely best. By the way, you missed a question. Do you mind if I read it out? Because I can't believe this question's in here because it's perfect timing. Question for the next show. Are there any weird fitness nutrition habits any players you've played with swore by? Snoddy told me a story yesterday, right? Where when he was at West Brom, it was after Hal Robson-Cano scored in the Euros semi, was it?
Yeah,
Euro semi. And he had this big hand because he invested in turmeric.
Am I?
He'd invest in turmeric.
Turmeric, is it turmeric?
Turmeric, turmeric, whatever it is. And he brought out these turmeric shots. It's what he said. All these interviews, he was like, that's fucking turmeric because he'd invested in it. So I had a bad knee. Ever since I took these fucking turmeric shots, I'm flying, scored in the Euros. It's not, they said he came in for pre-season, done his knee. And so they said, oh, the boys like, ah, fucking have a bit of turmeric. Because he invested in this turmeric. He was out in interviews and all that, saying that fucking turmeric, it works.
What would
I say? He'd done his knee, fucking a month for pre-season.
I ate so much before a game, had to.
Did you?
I had to stock up so much, like proper full meal, even if it was early on. Then when just as I started, I'd have a Red Bull and a Snickers or something.
You have a Snickers?
I like a Red Bull.
I needed all that before I played. I needed so much. And then other players don't want it in their body.
I like playing light, but I didn't mind a red belt to be fair, a four a gamer.
I would eat heavy on a Friday, and then on a Saturday I don't eat much at all.
Just cereal,
I'll have porridge. And then that's, I might have a banana or something after that.
Depending on what time the game is, if we were a 12 kickoff, I would be porridge, a bit of banana and that, bit of honey. That would be me. For normal 3 o'clock, maybe a wee beans and toast or something would be. With me.
Larson used to at McDonald's on a Friday.
What?
Larson every Friday used to at McDonald's. No. That was the rumour at Celtic.
What a shout that is.
But he'd obviously eat unbelievably well up to that.
You're going to need to back that because people will be right on you for that.
Yeah, but that was what used to get said at Henry because of McDonald's on a Friday.
Mate, Craig Alcott at Hearts doesn't eat sauce or cheese, like not one sauce or cheese. So every meal he has at Hearts, like it's ready made meals, it's just plain chicken, plain rice every day.
How could you eat that, man?
That's hard.
James Tavernier has jam with his omelette and jam on top.
Fuck off.
I swear to God.
Or he put it on his toast. He used to put it on his toast as well, did he?
And an omelette on top it,
aye.
You'd have a toast and jam and put an omelette on top it.
Joe Dumbey used to dip his toast into his tea. Remember that?
I've seen a few people do that.
It's not a bad thing, that.
No, you
did. I don't think it's great. Crumbs on your tea, mate.
Maybe a wee bit of toast and a sip of tea, you can maybe go down that
road. That's fine, he's fucking dunking it. How can you be having crumbs in your drink?
As if it's a hobnob, he's like...
Yeah, a hobnob, mate.
Jam with egg, mate.
No, that's horrendous. Paul Cadden, I told you, Paul Cadden, you remember Cadden?
That's good.
His diet's a worst. He used to bring McDonald's on the bus to go to a game, mate.
Have you heard Charlie McGrew talk about when they all went vegan? With Paul Caddis, but he said all he ate was pieces and jam.
Pieces and jam.
Pieces and jam for his dinner. That's because it was vegan.
So you would eat a Snickers before a game?
Snickers, wine gums, a lot. I genuinely need so much in me. I think I've got a wee sugar deficiency even now. Sometimes I say to you, didn't I? And I feel dead
like he did.
Aye.
You said that after that bounce game at the.
I always feel it. I don't know what it is. Maybe I've got a wee deficiency.
I'm buzzing for a game tomorrow. Can't wait. Right on to the next question, big man.
Right, here we go. I have a question. Solid Raven, he's called. Any mental stories from school? It could be football related or just anything in general. Mental teachers, fights, pranks, etc. Could keep it anonymous. Anonymous. So to
not French.
So to not
anonymous.
Could be your old day, mate.
Anonymous.
Terry, who's threatened you before you came on this?
Yeah, I'm so fragile today. All over the place. You're a good podcast today, though, isn't it? It's been a few in 2 years.
I could say loads of stories at school. Loads.
Go gaze them.
This is back in the early school days when I could play for the school
team. You're on fire today, by the
way. Boy threatened to stab me when I got off the school bus. He said, because I was obviously pro youth at Rangers at this time, so you always remember when you used to play with the school, if you went to play a school team, you always knew who their best player was. And I got off the school bus. I played Erskine High School. And the boys, when I get off the bus, was it this? Oh, regardless. So who's Andy Hardy? I'm sitting like, fuck me, you know what I'm saying? So that means that you score the day, you're getting stabbed. I was like, fucking hell. Honestly, had I been shat myself. I actually think I did score, but I did have a beast. I remember having a beast in the game.
You're offside. Flag yourself offside.
Was he standing watching you play? Was he playing against
you? On the side, mate. All of them. Big Jacobs in that. Just watching, waiting for me to score. I was like, fuck.
Could you see the blood?
No, nothing like that. But loads of stories at school. Boys letting off fireworks in school. And it's like, oh, mate. I got suspended at school. Because we actually had, I don't know if I can say this. We had a dwarf teacher. It was a dwarf.
Yeah, when he cut us off, it's gone down a hard,
and an induction day at school. Induction day at school. I went up to him and said, what's happening, wee man? He got suspended. First 2 days at school. Now you get suspended. I don't know if you've been suspended. You get the letter in. I had the letter behind the fridge. My mum never found it. I would go out in the morning with a fucking suit and tie on. That no suit and tie, but like uniform.
You always had a psychopath. I had one of my mates. Was I'm not going to name his name as well because he's changed now. But used to snag deodorant in class. Do you know what that is?
No.
So he'd sit and he'd be fucking. He's been in class.
Is that what does?
And he hated this one teacher. So every day he's like on the way to class. He's like, I'm going to do something to this teacher. So he'd walk in, be a random in where he's sitting, just walk up to his bin and go like that. Just spit in the teacher's bin. I used to take my English teacher's keys home. No, I used to steal them. I used to steal them during class. Put in my pocket. He was an older guy, and at the end of the bell, he'd always be, where the fuck's my keys? And then I would like put them back, hide them somewhere, and he would get them in the class. But one day I took them, and I remember getting in my house. taking my school clothes off, putting them down in his keys. He lived like 40 miles from the school.
I forgot
to put them back, and it was his keys for his motor. You had to get a 40 quid taxi back for school one day, but I had to go in and say to him, I've took your keys, and he's like, I would have got expelled, mate, but he's like, it's fine, then, or whatever.
Was you alright, guy?
When I seen the keys hit the bed, I was like, no way, man.
So it was actually brand new as well, and you've been terrorising
him. I've been terrorising him. He's a big football fan, so he was fine.
That's the last one I'm saying, because I've spoke too much.
You've been brilliant.
See, at IT, I don't know if you've ever used to have this at IT, where...
What was that, computing?
Computing, but then key, like, so boring, the key something today.
That was called computing when I went to school. That wasn't called IT.
IT?
I think it is actually called computer. I don't know why I said that. They used to give you something today in the computer, you'd do it, but the teacher would always put each person's individual screen on to make sure you're doing the work, and you'd be caught doing, fucking remember the Battle Badger free kicks and that you'd always play that in school.
You clicked it.
One of the boys put, remember Lemon Party?
Brilliant.
Remember Lemon Party, no? Yeah. Branda sucking each other. one of the boys in school put Lemon Party on, this teacher fired up his screen, put a big projector in front of the whole classroom.
That's wow. Unreal.
Did not go to, I think he got expelled. I don't even think he was expelled.
I seen that teacher, I forgot he done that. He put his hand up one day and the teacher was like, what is it, damn? And he was like, I need a toilet. He's like, no, you're not going to the toilet. He goes, I need to go to the toilet. And he's like, you're not going to the toilet. He went, my bladder's full. Pish.
I love school, man. Don't know about you. I love school.
You're the history teacher. If you forgot your pencil, he thought it was like this mad thing, he'd give you a coloured pencil, like that was what was embarrassing you. That was the guy that he used to abuse, so you can see why he got abused. I was just saying, man, I loved school, man.
I loved that.
I loved primary, Heady secondary.
Oh, secondary was brilliant, man.
Did you? What secondary did you go to?
I went around for high, secondary.
Did you get a as a bird's then?
No, I was really slow with all that at secondary school.
Remember getting off of a bird, how buzzing you were?
That was unbelievable,
wasn't it?
Amazing.
What was
your topic?
I was maths. Good maths,
aye. You good at maths?
Aye. Brilliant with numbers,
eh? Are you, man?
Obviously.
Do you know what? I was art. I was good at art. See, drawing in that?
No, I was maths and accounts.
I was terrible at maths.
I liked English. I was good at English.
You sure? Fucking hell, you think you speak English now? How did you get back to school?
But I liked writing stories and that stuff. I quite liked it.
Nah, you're good.
What about you? What were you good at? I hated French.
Geography.
What?
I love joking, obsessed with it.
Still just hauling that, you kept looking at
it. So I started with it.
Right, Craigie Patterson, last question. Apart from Ronaldo and Messi, who has been the next best player in the world for the last 10 years? It's got to be Neymar, nah.
Last 10?
De Bruyne.
Shout.
Right now, De Bruyne for me is.
Modric. Neymar's been a joke, nah.
Aye, but I would shade De Bruyne.
Nah,
it's good shouting De Bruyne up.
What about?
But I'll still say, and this is over 10 years, but I'm still bringing it up. My favourite player of all time, still Ronaldinho, always will be.
Mm-hmm.
That 3-4 gear of Ronaldinho, man.
I bet. Iniesta's better than De Bruyne.
But he's been De Bruyne.
It's past.
You think De Bruyne is a better player than Iniesta?
Mm-hmm.
Nah,
mate. I don't think it's that bad a shout. I'll tell you why.
Remember how good Iniesta was.
I think
Iniesta is one of the best midfielders ever. But I think De Bruyne, the reason I'm tipping him is because he adds more goals and assists than Iniesta. Does he so? Iniesta didn't get a lot of assists. It's weird.
Nah,
he was
outrageous.
I'm not going to.
He does.
He does, doesn't he?
I'm on Slaney's right here. He does.
What, De Bruyne gets?
No, he gets more goals and
assists. Oh, more right. But Iniesta still gets assists.
Iniesta's an incredible.
Iniesta's won World Cups, not me.
I don't know if he just falls outside the 10-year bracket. How long has he been retired?
100%.
How long has he been retired? In fact, he's not retired, does he? But he's playing.
He played in Japan for like the last 3 years.
Iniesta's unbelievable. That's my favourite team ever, that. And driving in, he scored the World Cup final now, didn't he?
Yeah.
Big stage, he's done it.
Tell you what, see for the last ten. I'd put Suarez up there.
I was going to say Suarez as well.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Suarez is the best
centre forward
number nine
ever
I've seen in the Premier League.
Is Lewandowski even coming?
Oh,
it's a good shout,
Lewandowski. Aye.
But again, go back to that madman. One Das will be sitting there saying, "You Thomas don't even Miller. Like Lewin." No, that'll be Joey. We'll be saying
Thomas Miller.
Miller,
aye.
Miller's terrible to watch.
Joey Barton says Thomas Miller is the best player in the world.
That's a wild shout, isn't
it? I bet he was saying it to Bam or something. He was, but he was half kind of obviously. This, when you talk to his goals and his assists at the time, we were thought he was.
I think he's one in that.
Who would you rather up front, Ibrahimovic or Suarez?
Suarez.
Aye.
Suarez is the best. I've see that 2 year Liverpool, mate.
He was just a one man band at times. And I know they had Gerrard and that, but still, he was unbelievable. Me, for me, Henry, he's not a number nine, is he?
But
Henry's
that,
the best ever.
That's it with that time scale as well.
Henry's the best ever Prem player, but number nine Suarez is the best I've seen in the Prem.
Alright, fine.
Best match I've ever watched.
So you did
that's
every week.
That's not on the list, mate. It's not on the list.
Every week.
Best match I've ever watched.
Not involving the old firm.
Maybe when Sammy Lee's managing. Bolton, Stoke, Kevin Keogh.
No, see, generally, two games in two nights. The Man City Spurs. The Man City.
Real Madrid.
Yeah. No.
It was the Champions League last year.
Ajax Spurs. No. Ajax Spurs that Champions League with Lucas Moura scored the hat trick. And who was the other one? No.
Liverpool combat against Barca, no? Was that not
that?
Was
that Barca?
Liverpool Barca.
Trent's corner, wasn't it?
That was incredible, that game.
What's your favourite porno?
Remember the Barcelona came back against PSG? I was in the house that night and I'm watching it and I've got my bed. It's like 5 minutes to go, I've got my bed. And the group chat's just absolutely exploding. I went, surely, no, they've not came back. The boys are going through, this is incredible. I thought to go on screen and rewind it. Just sit back and rewatch it just to see actually what happened.
It scored like three.
It was mad. Suarez won that game. Right? Suarez, Neymar and Messi
Sergio
up top.
Roberto.
Unbelievable.
By the way, Man City win the leagues up there.
Aguero, QPR. Barton gets sent off on that, didn't he? What about worst game you've ever seen?
What a question that is.
Have you been at a game live and it was shocking?
All the time. Up here. See, when you're working on it, some of the games you're watching are like, this is brutal. Like, sorry, a 0-0 game. Or I mean, you can get a decent 0-0, but you can get some bad games.
You're going to hate me here, Kenny, but I didn't actually, and he was very successful with Celtic, but I didn't actually enjoy watching Stratton Celtic. As a season ticket, I didn't really enjoy them.
Quite direct, aye. Up to two strikers.
You were brilliant, but the rest.
Cheers, man. That had a bad year, actually.
To be fair, that's not right, because when Nakamura came in the team, they did play a bit.
No, they were.
You had to play with Nakamura, didn't you? Couldn't just.
The results that were unbelievable.
Yeah.
I had a season ticket, and they always seemed to score for a set piece, Big Mac. Mm.
That was in that Martin O'Neill's Celtic, man.
They were so aggressive.
They were monsters.
Big lot. I played against them. You had Mialbe, who was
Balde
playing against them when I was actually. Hibs just breaking through.
They were monsters. Maybe you should sometimes break a certain after.
Centre mid, he played as well, mate.
Aye. Who's your hardest defender you've played against in Scotland?
Scotland?
I know you said Cannavaro last time, didn't you?
By the way, see, when somebody, again, playing against Craig Moore in training was incredible. He was so hard, man. Right. And Trace, so played against him. I think I played against him a couple of times before I went there, but she's training against him. He was, later, Van Dijk had one game against Van Dijk when I came back. It would have been 2015, it was the semi final. I think Griff scored two, and he was still at Celtic at the time, and he's.
What incredible. Did he get for strength, Ken?
Just everything. What was he? 6'4, 6'5, rapid,
Van Dijk.
Strong, can play. He's got everything, huh? Mm-hmm. You're up against that.
Let me tell you one thing though, right? He is the best defender to play in Scotland by a mile, right? But the shouts that he's the best defender in the world. If I'm Ramos, I'm thinking, what do you know what I've done for the last 15 years?
20, maybe.
20?
Maybe 20, yeah. Maybe 20, mate.
Who's the best player?
It's incredible,
that?
But.
I still say, right? I think Fergie's still up there, right? Like, for boys that have played, Paul Ince was a different level of player as well, winner. But they two boys are very similar mentalities. But Fergie was incredible. All the boys you have played with, it's no disrespect for anybody. Fergie was he was the driving force of that Rangers team at 20, 21.
To captain that team.
At 22, that was it. He got the captaincy.
You're arguing that's the best Rangers team ever on paper. There's a strong argument for it as well.
Right.
And he's the captain it.
Yeah. That's crazy. I think that would never happen now, would it?
No.
21-year-old captain.
And he's playing with literally international or the pitch. Aye? Or the pitch.
Dutch.
Like six, Italians, six or Germans. Seven.
Did you see a good relationship on the pitch? Like, could he find you?
Fergie, aye. Uh-huh. Aye. But Fergie could just run a game, aye.
And this is what I've said. I've said this in the past.
Enough. Any game, by the way.
I remember growing up as a fan that the amount of doubters and haters that Barry
Ferguson right?
back past Barry. Mm-hmm. So it's like, see if you're getting that shout and you're him. What chance anybody in Scotland got? Generally, if you're a footballer, what chance you got? If people are doubting his ability.
Yeah.
There must be players at Celtic that have had it. Neil Lennon used to get extended in when he was a player. And how successful he was at Celtic.
Mm-hmm. What a podcast. Honestly, God, what a podcast.
You've enjoyed that?
Been unbelievable. I mean, I worked on it, I know, but.
You said that 45 minutes ago when it was supposed
just
to be.
Just read that third question again for it to know.
Oh, fuck.
No, wait, just go to end it, right? Wait, what, wait, yeah, I'll tell you what I want is to read. I had the third. Go on.
Right, here we go. I have a 7-year old.
No, wasn't that? Sorry.
I was that one.
No, it wasn't. It was the
second last.
It was the anonymous one.
First to get. What is it? I have a question for next week. Any mental stories from school? It could be football related or just anything in general. Mental teacher fight, pranks, etc. Could keep it anonymous. So
numbness. Well done, boy.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president. You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.